He sang that song, "Bless My Heart." Here we stand on Father's Day. And from the pulpit, what do I speak about? As the question's been on my mind for more than a week or so now, I could take the cue from my wife who shared on Mother's Day and do something similar along those lines, but I'm not. I'm sure that from other pulpits on this Sunday morning, there are many fine messages going forth about how to be a good dad, how to be a godly father. Maybe other preachers expounding on examples of good fathers in the Scripture. I'm not going there with you this morning. That is all beneficial and good and proper and right. But today, I wanted to remind you of something more basic. So basic that it's foundational. If you would, this morning, turn with me to the Epistle to the Romans. We'll be looking at some words penned for us by the Apostle Paul. We are in the 8th chapter of Romans this morning. And I'll be reading out of the ESV today. Romans 8. Let's look at verse 15. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Wonderful verse. Can very much stand on its own. But since it does begin with the word "for," we have to look briefly backward in the immediate context and see what Paul has been discussing here in the 8th chapter of Romans. The contrast he's drawing between those who live according to the Spirit and those who live according to the sinful nature. Those who are controlled by the sinful nature and those who are controlled by the Spirit of God. In this contrast, it comes to the conclusion that those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Which leads us up to our verse this morning. And I am confident that when we look at this term, sons of God, in the Scriptures, everyone in this room understands that this is inclusive. In our day and age today, if we don't say sons and daughters of God, some people get highly offended, but we're talking about the generic humankind, that we are sons of God. But as Paul continues to write here into the verse we have looked at this morning, he says, we have received not a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, not to put ourselves back under the rules and regulations of the law. A few weeks ago, we were looking at Galatians. We saw how some came in to Galatia and tried to do that to the believers in that church. For the law benefits nothing for us. It only can serve to condemn us and to point us to our need for a Savior. But the law itself cannot redeem us. The law places us under fear. The fear of God's condemnation. But how gloriously this chapter opens when Paul reminds us that there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We don't have that spirit of fear. We have what Paul says is the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And this morning, I have three brief points to share with you. I want to look at the reality of our adoption, the rights of our adoption, and the results of our adoption. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, John says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God." This is the reality of our adoption. And Paul emphasizes this by giving us this Aramaic word, Abba, by which the Spirit cries out from within us. Abba, Father. Now this is very curious to me, because Paul also, in the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 4, verse 6, uses some similar terminology. To the Galatians he writes, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Only three times in the New Testament is this phrase used. Romans, Galatians, and then Jesus Himself uses it in Mark. In all three occurrences in the Greek New Testament, it's phrased the same way. Abba ha pater. Abba, the Father. Abba is an Aramaic term that has been transliterated from Aramaic into the Greek. It's spelled out phonetically for the Greek readers. Alpha, beta, beta, alpha, Abba. And then it's translated as the Father. Abba, the Father. Likewise, in our English Bibles, this is preserved for us. It's transliterated into our alphabet, which is very similar to the Greek in this case. Abba, Father. Why did Paul feel the need to use this word in his epistles to the Romans and Galatians? Why couldn't he just said, the Father? Or our spirits cry out, Father, Pater. Why was there a need to preserve the Aramaic phrase? And why this word? It's distinct from Hebraic expressions of the fatherhood of God. Elohim Avinu would have been an option for Paul. Maybe the everlasting Father, Aviad. There are countless high names of God in the Old Testament that the apostle could have drawn from and penned them in his letter to the Galatians and the Romans. But if we hold to a view of Scripture as being verbally inspired, what that means is the very choice of words is controlled by the Spirit of God and is breathed out by God. We have to look very carefully at why this special word is preserved for us here. If you've heard messages in the past regarding this particular verse, you may have heard some people say, maybe on television, radio, other churches, that this word means daddy. That it's baby talk. Some of the very first sounds a baby can make in the Hebrew culture, abba, 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 and then abba, 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 is daddy. And it preaches well from the pulpit, doesn't it? God wants us to come to Him like little toddlers. But there's more to that word than baby talk. maybe in the beginning, the root, the start of the word, that was true. But in the first century context of the letters we are looking at this morning, these portions of Romans and Galatians, Abba had a deeper significance. It was not baby talk. It was a term of intimacy, endearment, and love that was used by adult children, as well as could be used by littler ones as well, but used by adult children to address their fathers. So how would we phrase that in English? Perhaps, dearest father, beloved and honored father, Abba. More importantly, we can think of it this way. My father. My dear father. My father. Abba. I've been married for 27 years now. Just like Scott and Angela, Ellie and I celebrated our anniversary here recently. Later on this afternoon, I'll be up in Aurora celebrating Father's Day with my father-in-law. And it's very strange that only now, after over a quarter century of being in Ellie's family, that I am comfortable with calling her dad my dad. Doesn't come easy. But this is the sense of the word Abba, where Paul says to us that we can approach the Heavenly Father, not only as the Lord of glory and the Creator of the universe, the Majesty on high, all those high terms that we can bring in to address God. But Paul says, you have been adopted to the point where you can call out my Father. Abba, Father. How powerful is that? And that's the essence of adoption. We have a concept of adoption in our culture. But in the Greco-Roman world, this particular term that Paul uses here in Romans chapter 8 for adoption conveys a sense of a rite of passage where an adult son is installed into his position in society and his place in the family. So it goes a little bit beyond our own concept of being brought into the family as an adopted child, but it speaks of us taking a rightful place within that family as part of that family. And Paul is telling us that we are adopted. And as John said again, all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God. What does the adoption into God's family bring us? In both Paul's expression to the Romans and also to the Galatians, he uses the word cry. In Romans 8:15, the spirit of adoption is as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. In Galatians, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It's the same Greek word in both places. Because Paul repeats himself both in Romans and Galatians, this must be something very important to the apostle. The word means cry aloud. This is not a quiet, passive, or meek addressing of the Father. Abba, Father. It's much more than that. This is something that is passionate. It's fervent. It's emphatic. It's emotional. They were crying out, Abba, Father! And we can't do that. And it's not us that's crying out. It's the Spirit within us. The Spirit of adoption. God sealed the Holy Spirit within us that's crying out, I don't feel like God's my Father, Pastor. If you're a believer, the Spirit within you begs to differ. And if you can't bring yourself to cry out, Abba, the Spirit within you will. Because it is your standing in Christ. It is who you are. You are an adopted son, adopted daughter. You have this right. And it is Jesus who leads us to the Father. This holy God. This awesome. Terrible figure. Isaiah says, well, woe is me. I am undone. We can approach the infinite glory and majesty of God through Jesus Christ. And He is the one who takes our hand and brings us to His Father. In Matthew chapter 6, He says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He doesn't say, pray to my Father and my Father will reward you. He says, pray to your Father and your Father will reward you. This is our right of adoption, that we come into the presence of the Father as a son, as a child. And when we praise, Jesus says, do not heap empty phrases as Gentiles do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Your Father has an interest in your life that He knows all your needs before you even are aware of them. We heard some of the tangible results of that in testimony time this morning, didn't we? That our Abba, our Father, is willing to meet our needs. And Jesus says, pray then like this. Our Father. Our Father. Again, Jesus is not saying He's my Father, just my Father. He's our Father. He's your Father too. And at this point, let's be clear about That's that phrase. He's not everyone's father. Sometimes you hear people talk about the brotherhood of mankind. We're all children of God. And in a general sense, in the terms of a creative sense, that God is the author of all life. That's true. And that every human bears the image of God, the imago Dei. In that sense, God may be referred to as Father, but not Abba. Not Abba. Because Abba brings in the personal. It brings in the relational sense that only those who have been redeemed in Christ can know. We've looked at the reality of our adoption, the rights of our adoption. Now let's take a look at the results of our adoption. Well, that's obvious, Pastor. It's eternal life. John writes about that in his Gospel, chapter 3. Yes, he does. But so much more than that. Indeed, something to look forward to. During Sunday school, we've been talking about that for the last several weeks. This morning included. One day we will be in His presence. And we will enjoy life everlasting with Him. But what about present realities? And why is Jesus using these terms, and then the Apostle Paul following him? Why this image of a father and a son? We all know, again, through our Sunday school study recently, in our own personal experiences in life, we know that family situations can be difficult. Some fathers are absent. Some fathers are abusive. And the picture of our earthly father colors our image of the heavenly father. Why would Jesus risk using this terminology? Because don't you think that family relationships had issues back in the time of Jesus as well as today? Of course they did. So why this? Well, it's not just the metaphor he's using. It expresses the reality of his relationship within the Godhead. This concept of a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, which is another sermon for another time. There's probably no other way to put it, because that's the reality of the relationship, Jesus to the Father. But also, I am firmly convinced that Jesus knows that we need some healing. Because our family relationships aren't perfect, He knows we need a Father who is. Doesn't matter how good of a father you are. And gentlemen in this room, you know I speak the truth. We're not perfect. I can think of several times when we have unintentionally hurt our children. We can't claim that level of perfection. We all have shortcomings. We all have failings as fathers. which is why I appreciated the special song this morning. We can't do it on our own. In order to be the Father our children need, we need to be in partnership with our Heavenly Father, making sure that our children know the perfect Father beyond us. Dads, we have a Father who has our backs. That when we mess up, He is still perfect. He loves us infinitely more than we do, or ever could. We need to guide our children so that they too can one day call out, Abba, Father. And for those of us who are in a situation where our dads are gone, whether through death or through abandonment, our dads out of our life because of behaviors and situations that have occurred in the past, we have a Heavenly Father who's always present for us, who wants to heal those, who wants to step in. And what is this Father like? Again, we have to turn to Jesus, because it's Jesus who leads us as our brother. And by that spirit of sonship, we cry out, Abba, Father. I think the most vivid illustration of this, again, I'm turning to John's Gospel. In the 14th chapter, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Two chapters later, brings up the same thing. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I no longer will speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and believe I came from God. If we have seen Jesus, we have seen the Father. We've seen the character of the Father, the love of the Father, the truth and the reality of the Father is revealed in the Son. We also have seen that this is the Father that we can approach. I have no fear of approaching. He's not the Father who is looking to bring condemnation upon us, because there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. On the contrary, our spirit of adoption inside of us is crying out, Abba, Father. And he's a good, good Father. And at this time, as the worship team comes forward to prepare to lead us in our closing song, I want you to ponder that word, Abba, and all that it means, and why it's in our Bibles as it is. This word, my Father, God is your Father. Whatever burdens you may have this morning, whatever images of your own Father that you may be struggling with or being thankful for, bring them to your Heavenly Father this morning. knowing that you have access anytime, any place, in any situation, to cry out, "Abba, Father, Father, hear my